Thank you, Lord. This is April the 14th, 2019. The title of this message today is Walking from the Inside. In the Old Testament, everything was outward. They were spiritually dead men, so they weren't, Jesus hadn't come yet, so their covenant was all based on outward things. They did little rituals and all this stuff. That's the best they could do. And the New Testament's all inward. Now we get into trouble when we try to mix the two. Okay, out with the old and in with the new. It's a drastic change even for people today. I remember an organization I worked in for several years, learned a lot of things. And there was a volunteer in this organization, real sweet lady, kind of old style Pentecostal. And the director said one day, we don't walk under the Ten Commandments, and it offended her so bad she quit. I mean, she'd been faithful for years. But the truth is, we don't walk under the Ten Commandments. You know, they have all been fulfilled. Now we walk by the love law. You know, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. Mm-hmm. Not going to take his wife, etc. This is why God gave us a way into the New Testament, and we have to go through a process. We have to come out of one and go into another. You know, I was thinking about the children of Israel this morning. When people begin to hear new things, things they've never heard before, sometimes they go, no, I won't go back. That's what was happening. Here they're coming out of Egypt. They'd been in a socialized system. They were told when to punch the clock, when they could sleep, what they could eat, when they could eat. Sound familiar? Sounds like our culture, where it's headed. That's where it was heading until the Holy Ghost got a hold of it and God's people started praying, turning around socialism that's tried to spread in the world. Everywhere socialism has gone, it's reaped destruction. It's never made it. It didn't make it in the Bible either. Egypt didn't make it. Even though it was a big, bad city, it didn't make it. Egypt was the place to be, but they didn't make it. Why? It doesn't work. Slavery doesn't work. Doesn't matter how many benefits they give you and how nice it seems, slavery is still slavery. God is all about possessing. He gave Adam all the resources in the garden to go and take that, what had started in the garden, and take it throughout the whole world. What was Jesus commissioned? Take it, this gospel of the kingdom into all the nations. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Well, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, for one thing. It's also having, owning, possessing, healthy, full supply. This is the kingdom. So this has been God's plan from day one of man. He wants us possessing. Now I'll tell the story. The Lord said to me, flying over Ohio, you've heard it many times, but you get to hear it again, about I never meant for these airlines to be in the hands of the sinners. Any of the transportation, any of the banking, any of the medicine, any of the media, any of the Hollywood and you name it, arts and entertainment. I never meant for any of it to be in the hands of the world. I meant for my church to own all of it. All of it. Not anything that was not. Now there's some what they call Zionists that they feel that way too, but they're Jews, and they mean to kill everybody. They want to knock everybody out. There's the distortion of it. They still are under that old covenant. They've not embraced Jesus. But no, this is Father's will for us. For us not to inherit, we're like the one with the one talent that hit it in the ground, and he said, why didn't you do something with what I gave you? Well, I knew you were a hard man and blah, blah, just full of excuses. You know, God's not going to hear that. He's given us the kingdom. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. He's living inside of us. He's showing us how to do it. He didn't just leave us out there. He said, okay, I'm going to be inside of you instructing you how to do this step by step. Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Coming out of the system, coming out of the world's way of thinking, we began to renew our mind. We began to be transformed, not conformed. Conform happens through pressure. Our society pressures and pressures more regulations, more rules, more laws, more fees, more this, more that, until you're just so cramped in a box you can't even breathe. Is that jail? Yeah, that's what it is. But God's way is not that way. He sent the Israelites into the land and said, take the land, and he gave each tribe their allotment of land, and they were to never let go of that land. They were to take it from generation to generation, and we see the decline over the years, how Israel has lost their land by compromise with their enemies. It's still happening today. You know, I heard a young man on YouTube that's he teaches the Jewish root stuff. I like him. He's kind of off a little bit, but I just like him. I like his zeal. He was talking about people are upset that our president signed off on the Golan Heights and gave Israel dominion or whatever it was, signed some executive order to help Israel out concerning the Golan Heights. And he said, people are upset, man. They're writing me letters. They're just so upset. And he said, if you're upset now, you're going to really be upset, because this is how much they really own. And when Jesus comes, he's going to wipe out all authority and power, and Israel's going to get back all their land because they've compromised. He told them there'll be thorns in your eyes, pricks in your sides, or maybe it's the other way around, if you don't run them off. Same way with the devil in your life. If you don't run him off, he will be a prick in your eye, thorn in your side. It's not because we don't have the ability and the power today. We do. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures. John heralded, change your mind for the better. This is Matthew 3, 2. If you don't, it won't. You know, a lot of people are crying out to God today, God help me, God help me, God help me. Why don't you do something? God help me. Looking for a preacher to perform for them. But God's saying, no, I've put it in your lap. I've given you the keys. I've given it into your hand. The change happens in the minds of men. That's why the devil's gone to great lengths to try to pollute all the media sources, is because he is pushing a narrative. He's been pushing a narrative since the fall. The world doesn't get it. Maybe some people in the world do. I think some people in the world are waking up to the fact about propaganda, you know. Okay. At the new birth, the spirit is recreated in the likeness of God, like pre-fall Adam. Okay. Renewing the mind takes care of this evil. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? See, God believes that independent thinking is evil. It is. That's what happened with Eve. Satan talked her out of God's will, and she believed his lie. She became evil, and so did Adam. They became evil. A person that's not born again is evil. Human nature is evil. That part of man, see, God didn't want them to know calamity or evil. He only wanted them to know the good side of it. And in Jesus, we can know only the good side of it. But they made a choice. God didn't strap them down and hold them prisoner so they wouldn't sin. He gave man free choice. So man is without excuse. All right. All right. Man still has to deal with what Adam did deal with. He has to deal with the conscience that awakened that day that can be defiled. It can be, what do they call it? What do you call it? Seared. seared. That means you violate and you do wrong and your conscience no longer tells you. Conscience has become seared. And I believe that it's not a good guide unless it's been renewed, your mind has been renewed, and it comes under the control of the Spirit, because we are led by the Spirit of God. We're to be controlled by that nature, not our conscience. A lot of people say, well, I go with my gut. Well, for a person that their mind is renewed and things are right with them, yes, I could say maybe that might be true. But for just a person that is not, their conscience can lead them in ways that are not God's ways. You understand that? See, God didn't want us to have to deal with this. This is where the battle began. This is where the war is, the warfare, right there. Okay. They came to know good and evil and blessing and calamity. So we still have to deal, even though Jesus came, brought us back to the fall state, that conscience part is not dealt with yet. We have to bring it under control of the Spirit. We have to do something about it. All right, now I want to read Matthew 15. These are some scriptures I've been really meditating on in Matthew and Mark. Jesus is talking to spiritual leaders here. Are not, they weren't spiritual, they were just carnal. But the leaders of Israel, we'll just say the Pharisees, he was speaking to them. This is 15:10. It says, and Jesus called the people to him and said to them, listen and grasp and comprehend this. It's not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth, this makes a man unclean and defiles. All right, verse 17. Well, this 13 says, he answered, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up by the roots. Now, we're talking about strongholds. These plants are strongholds that cause us. Because these leaders, they had strongholds. They were under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, we don't have these rules and regulations. In 17, it says, do you not see and understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the abdomen and so passes on into the place where discharges are deposited? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. That's talking about your soul here. It's your thinking processes. What's planted up here in your brain is what's coming out of your mouth. And this is what Jesus is saying here is what really defiles the man. It's not food. Now we see our world today, even the church, it's all infiltrated with outward things, health care, diet, exercise, you name it, to try to correct our problems instead of what God laid down in His Word, how we are to correct our problems. You know, they can do whatever they want to do, but until this is taken care of, this is not going to really do anything. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, irreverent speech. These are what make a man unclean and defiled. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean or defiled. So these guys thought, if you don't wash your hands right, you've sinned and this is defiling you. And he's saying, no, no, that is immaterial. It's what you're thinking up here, those evil thoughts you're thinking about me right now. That's what's defiling you. See, that's what it's all about. You think the devil don't know this? That's why his propaganda push for us to buy into another narrative except what the Word of God says for us to do. Okay, now flip over to Mark 7. Strongholds. The Lord didn't say, after you're born again, I want you to sign up, you know, make sure you go and have all your dental appointments. Make sure you have all your immunizations. Make sure you go to the doctor every so often. Have this test, that test, that test. No, he said, go get that mind renewed, because there's the answer to every problem. All right, Matthew 7. You see how much money the devil's made off of us by spreading that lie? Oh, let's go buy some of this superfood stuff. You know, it's got 150 vitamins in it. Man, it'll do you good. It's been known to cure this and cure that and everything else. And I thought, well, Jesus did that at the cross. Why do I need a bottle of stuff that's $70, $80 a month and tastes like some weed? Come on. The devil's probably back there laughing. They just believe anything, don't they? They're silly. They just believe anything. They're sheeple. They just sheep are dumb. They really are. If you ever observe sheep, if one in front of them jumps, the other one all jump. If one of them runs into a fence, they all run into the fence. Just dumb as a stump. That's why they have a shepherd leading them. The Lord knows we have to have his leadership. He's living on the inside today. He's leading us. He's showing us what's right, what's not right. Okay, Mark 7. Verse 15. There is not one thing outside a man which going into him can pollute and defile him. Think about Paul and the snake. There's not one thing without a man that can harm him or pollute him. That is the truth. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We've been told, oh, you better not, oh, no, ooh, ah, ooh, touch not, taste not, handle not. You know, that's bad. That'll hurt you. That'll defy you. The Word of God does not say that. There is not, well, the Amplified says, even one thing outside of man which by going into him can pollute and defile him. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. Which one do you choose to believe today? But the things which come out of a man are what defile him and make him unhallowed and unclean. Satan knows that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's why he's covered it up with all of this garbage so that you do not see the truth. He's changed the narrative because he knows there's only one way. Okay. And when he said, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and let him perceive and comprehend by hearing. Right here, let's see, going up to 8, let's go down to 18. The disciples came to him and wanted to know, explain this to us. And he said to them, then are you so unintelligent and dull and without understanding? Do you not discern and see that whatever goes into a man from the outside cannot make him unhallowed or unclean? That's why they've not been able to kill us. If they got somebody to believe it, it would kill them. But if whatever they do, whether they're poison immunizations or they're poison our food or they're poison our water, or they're spraying chemtrails, whatever the heck they're trying to do, if we don't believe it, it says here, it's not possible. Do you not discern and see that whatever goes into a man from the outside cannot make him unhallowed or unclean? There was a few that got a hold of that. I believe the disciples were martyred because they laid their life down. So did Paul. They walked like Jesus. Jesus laid his life down. Said he went to the cross by faith. He chose to do it because that was the purpose he came for. They didn't kill him. He killed himself. I heard Fred Price say years ago, Jesus committed suicide. He knew they were going to kill him. But they couldn't kill him. They tried. They couldn't kill him. He had to willfully lay his life down. And I say to you, they can't kill you. You have to willfully lay your life down and say, I believe your narrative, devil. Get what I'm saying today? We just don't know how much power this lion inside of us has. Okay. Since it does not reach and enter his heart, but his digestive tract, and so passes on. We know where that passes on to. Thus he was making and declaring all foods clean. Oh, but you know, the food was so much more pure back then. You ever hear that? Bull. You know, now it's so full of preservatives and they do, you know. Poisoning was a big thing in Jesus' day. Why do you think they had testers? Everything they ate, their leaders would have them have it tested. They'd drink it, and if they fell over dead, they knew it wasn't good. And if they didn't die, they knew it was okay. The devil's still the devil. He hasn't changed. He's still pushing the same narrative that he did the day that even Adam fell. He's still doing the same thing today. Killing, stealing, destroying. It hadn't changed. I don't care how sophisticated we get, it hasn't changed. Okay. Strongholds are a real problem. But I'm telling you today, God has not sent medicine or food or exercise to be your warfare methods. They are not your weapons. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm speaking the truth. It's as truth as true can be today. In as simple a form as I know how to say it today. I just wish there was thousands listening. Maybe they will be. Who knows who will hear this? 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, the Lord knows we live in a natural body, we walk in a natural world. We interact with our world with our physical body. Nobody's refuting that. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we're not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. Medicine, human weapons. Exercise, human weapons. Anything else that we try to do that we think is going to enhance us and make us live longer. This injection, that procedure. Oh, we found the fountain of youth. Yeah, his name's Jesus. In him is life and there is no death. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. This is the only problem as a Christian that we face. He has made us wonderfully and fearfully. And as far as he's concerned, he took care of the whole man on the cross. Stripes on his back for your healing. Provision. Everything. Every area. What's the problem? Strongholds. We've been programmed. Propagandized. Listened to the wrong narrative. So, we have to change the narrative. We have to listen to a different narrative. Refuting arguments. Don't stand there and argue with the devil. As far as you're concerned, it's already settled. Refuting arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. This whole world system has set itself up against the knowledge of God. Whether it be in the classroom, most churches, any doctor's office in this town, any institution, financial institution. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. He has last word, last say. His word is final authority in the situation. A lot of people are seeking answers today. If they just renew their mind, a lot of their problems would be solved. Okay, the natural man with his natural thinking, God considers evil. He said, even an evil man will do for his children, but how much more will your heavenly Father give us whatever we're asking for. He's a very indulgent father. I don't know about you, my natural father didn't leave me a thing. But who cares? Our Heavenly Father has given us all things. He's given us the keys of the kingdom. He said, all things are yours. If we'll get a hold of this principle, we'll see it, not just say it. Okay, our prayer and confession should be, deliver us from evil. This is Matthew 6. Deliver us from evil. Lord, deliver us from this human state. That's what renewing the mind does. It's delivering us from evil. Our own thinking processes, our own way of doing things that keeps us just going around the mountain. Sometimes I think I'm just dumb as a stump. I've gone around the mountain so many times in this area. But thank God he doesn't give up on us. He just keeps going with us. Then, okay, we're going around again. Maybe this time, though, we're going to make it this time. We're going to get free this time.
That's true.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. That's true. I mean, that song ought to be for those that are renewing their mind. Yeah, I'm going around the mountain again, Lord. Okay. Mindsets hinders the kingdom progression. Mindsets. All right. The inward walk, like Adam had in the garden with God, was disrupted and cut off completely. But Jesus, he said it all right. He got us back on the right path, going in the right direction, which was Father's direction. All right. Evil means independence. Independence. And that's independent thinking processes. That's what we're talking about here today. What is the real problem with people? Well, our first instruction, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Go start renewing that mind. There's your problem right there. Don't come back asking me to pray for you or do anything else. Go get in that word and start renewing your mind. That's why Brother Hagin could not really do much with anybody if he couldn't get them on the word. He had to get them in the word, seeing what the word said about it. Why? Well, it says there. Well, we've talked about it. Let's just read it. God wants you to know his will. That is the purpose. This is verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, it says, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He wants you to know his will. He knows your mind is full of strongholds, and he wants you to know his will. You know Satan's will. You're going down his path, have been all your life, and now he wants to turn you around and put you on a new path. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So as a new Christian, I think one of the best things after they're born again, filled with the Spirit, is tell them, okay, now go renew your mind. Don't come ask me anything or anything until you start getting your mind renewed. I mean, that's why you come to church, is to get your mind renewed. But you can't just do it on Sunday morning. This is something you have to do every day. Most of us have been so full of things that we really got to do it a lot. Okay. Satan brought division through his independent narrative from God. I mean, we're talking the archangel. He was so beautiful that when he walked, he emitted music. Some say or teach that he was he was on the sides of the north where God's throne is, that he was the worship leader in heaven. And he rebels against God. And he gets a third of the angels to rebel with him. So that's all he's done since that time, since he was kicked out of heaven, was he has now come to the earth to deceive men. The same, and try to usurp his authority over God. Isaiah 14, I will ascend the five I wills. I will ascend above the Most High. He's still trying to get up there. They've gone to great lengths to make nuclear weapons and atomic missiles and all of these things to break through a firmament so that a renegade angel can go up there and best God and sit on the throne. He's crazy because he hasn't realized you're not going to do it. The only one coming through that firmament is going to roll it up like a scroll is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's not going to get any further than the temple in Israel. That's the highest place. That's the closest he'll ever get. That's why he hates the Jews. He hates Jerusalem because God's name is written in there, that temple. Well, in the Jerusalem anyway. He said, I placed my name there. So that's why the devil's done what he's done. But the whole world wants a little tiny nation the size of New Jersey. They want to push him into the sea. They want to annihilate him from the face of the earth. Why? God's name is there. It's Satan wanting the best God. And he wants the best God in your mind. He wants to win. You can't let him. You don't have to let him. Okay. Man is to live by every word of God. Now you see why. Every word of God. Man is in sync with God, but he is cut off when he begins to think independently of God. That's why the best meaning people do everything to get healed and different things. But you know what? There's a way to go about it. God set it down in his word. All he's asking is that you believe. And a lot of people can't believe because they have had so many strongholds in their minds that they're double-minded. Okay, let's keep going. There's some scriptures here. I'll say that they're talking about stiff-necked. I just looked at some scriptures. We're not going to look at these today. It's Exodus 32:9. 33, 3 and 5, 34, Deuteronomy 9, 6 and 13, Deuteronomy 10, 16, 2 Chronicles 38 and Acts 7, 51. Stiff-necked. Matthew 7, 11 talks about that. Degeneracy to the original virtue, evil. Degeneracy to the original virtue. In other words, how God made man perfect and through the fall, he became degenerate. Adam's single-minded became double-minded. We're told in James, if you have a problem and you're supposed to, like verse 2 says, count it all joy. And if you have problems, ask for wisdom, but ask in faith. And it talks about the double-minded man don't think he'll receive anything he asks for from the Lord because he's a man of two minds. He's going like, he's skewed. All right. Vines, the word there, paneros, means labor, toil, denotes evil that causes labor, pain, sorrow, malignant, evil, bad, worthless in the physical sense. This is what evil is. No, this is double-mindedness. Sorry. Paneros in the vines. Satan is sabotaged. That's what he's trying to do. Man became double-souled. What a mess. Double-souled. Like the cartoons you always see, where there's a devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. That's double-minded. You're trying to do the right thing, but then you've got this nagging hole in your back and in your ear. Okay. One soul say, oh. Okay, one soul is Satan, the other one, God. It's a split or a schism. This is, I looked up the word, it's division there, and it means split or schism. And that's what double-mindedness is. It's divided. You're divided. It's like your total allegiance for you to believe for healing or anything else, your total allegiance is going to have to be with God's healing covenant and not be divided. Okay. All right. Division comes when we get out of the spirit. See, Adam was a spirit man. He didn't know anything but walking in the spirit, and God didn't want it any other way. But he had to give man the option because he's not a slave master. He wanted man to choose him because he wanted to walk with God, not because he was forced to do so. He would be like the devil if he had done it another way. So he let man choose. So division comes when we get out of the spirit. Okay, we're going to look at a few scriptures on that. This is Romans 16:17. It says, I appeal to you, brethren, to be on your guard concerning those who create dissensions and difficulties and cause divisions in opposition to the doctrine which you've been taught. Avoid them. Stay away from divisive people. Especially stay away from people that don't walk where you walk and speak like you speak and believe what you believe. They'll be a deterrent to your faith if you're around them long enough. Hopefully, you know, in some cases, God will send you to them and you can change their mind. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:10. But I urge and entreat you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no divisions or factions or divisions, dissensions or factions or divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in your common understanding and your opinions and judgments. We looked in the book of Acts how they were all of one mind and one accord, and the power of God was so strong, and there wasn't a weak one among them. There wasn't anybody that had any lack among them. The power of God was in full manifestation because they were one. They were unified. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:3. For you are still of the flesh. For as long as envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? See, what woke up in Adam? Mankind. Nasty. God didn't want man to know that, but man chose. All right, 1 Corinthians 11:18. For in the first place, when you assemble as a congregation, I hear that there are cliques among you, and in part I believe it. It amplified says divisions and factions. Instead of flowing as one, that's how church splits happen. All right, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience, like those in the wilderness fell. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life and of the joints and marrow, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. See, this is the Holy Spirit will help us to begin to discern what's going on in me that's soul and what's spirit. Mm-hmm. When you got a stronghold, that's the Word of God is what's going to cut through there. If you ever thought one way and you sat down and read your Word, and by the time you got through reading your Word, you thought differently. Why? The Word was compelling you. This is Father's way. Well, though, if you'll stay with it, there'll be a day that other voice will no longer bother you and you'll know. Single-minded. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities. He'll keep working with us. He's in us. He's working with us. Now we're going to get it this time, where I'm going around the mountain with you. Let's jog this time. You're going to get it this time. That's what he does. He's encouraging us. We shouldn't be down about where we are. We should just, if we didn't get it this round, we'd go around again, and we're going to get it. With our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning, he did it. He passed the test. How much better somebody in us that has passed it and knows how to do it is in there helping us and instructing us. Holy Spirit, comforter, counselor, friend, paraclete, he's hanging on us. I mean, he's with us. He's stuck with us like glue to teach us and to help us. Let us then fearlessly, confidently, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace, not disgrace, not, Lord, whipping us because, well, you did it again. You had to go around the mountain again. No. It didn't say that. It says, and find grace to help in good time for every need. Grace. That's why the Lord has spoken to me about certain things. View this as a training exercise. Quit looking at it as a failure and loss, but look as training. I'm training you, and you're going to get it. Sometimes it just takes a few more, you know, you might scrape your knees a few times. Like riding a bike. I remember learning to ride a bike on a shell road. I had knees, bloody scabbed up knees all the time because I kept falling. And I'm not talking a smooth shell road. I'm talking big old shells on this road. And that's what I learned to ride my bike on. I fell many times, but my knees healed. And I learned how to ride the bike on that shell road. It may seem like you're on a shell road today and you're falling a lot and your knees are bloody, but he's saying, come on, I'll help you. I'm with you. This settles the argument. Singleness of mind is God's plan, just like Adam had when he walked with God in the cool of the evening. God would discuss with his man the things he wanted to do. Okay. The walking in the Spirit is an inside walk. Let's look over to Galatians 5. We've looked at this several times over the last months about the fruit of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. If we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it says. This is 5, verse 16. But I say, walk and live in the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. Well, how do we do that? Instead of trying to fight with the fist, we go to the Word. That's our weapon of choice. For the child of God, for the Son of God, this is the weapon of our warfare. Now we can go toil and spin and try this and try that, and usually end up nothing works, and we'll end up back in the Word anyway. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Spirit. That's why I have such a problem with the means thing. Now, don't get me wrong here. We live in a natural world, and God will lead us into different places in the world to do things. You know, we have to go to the grocery store. We have to go to the bank. Let's don't be silly about it. But God wants us to get to where we ask Him about things. We don't just go do things. He knows we have to operate in this world system. And there'll be a time we'll have to interact with it. But we do have a set down covenant of healing. We do have an alternative. He did give us an alternative. He also gave us a financial alternative. Instead of the world's investment ways, that's very uncertain. Okay, For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the spirit, and the spirit are opposed to the flesh. You know, you have to teach the word in a way that people don't get scared off, but then they need to know too the truth of the word, that God, he wants us to be the best we can be. He wants us to be well. He wants us to be prosperous. So the truth of the matter is, if the flesh opposes God, why would we want to go there? And if there's a doubt, we're to ask for wisdom, it says. But even in sickness, it didn't say call the doctor. It said call the elders of the church and let them pray. If you can't get it on your own faith, pray. The elders will guide you, supposedly. Maybe somewhere here. And the elders will instruct. And they'll pray. And it said the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. I'm thinking, it's so simple. But the devil in his big loud voice and his ugly nasty ways, he's pushed his narrative till he's clouded the minds to where they don't even see God at all in it. They've just adapted. Well, you know, we'll just stick God in there. Now he may lead you at a point in time if he sees that he needs to lead you there for some reason, if you ask him. That's the only way I can see that we ought to be messing with the world is when the Lord says, you go here and you do this and this is what I'm blah, blah, blah. But like I said, we do have to go to the grocery store. We do have to go to the bank. We do have to go get gas. I am not anti-doctor, regardless of what anyone might think. I'm just anti-devil and his corruption. He's corrupted everything. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free but prevented from doing what you desire to do. See, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit, flesh and spirit. Nothing gets done. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law. You don't have to go through all this back and forth and up and down and what should I do? Now the doings of the flesh are clear, and it goes on to list those. But the point is, the Spirit has a way for everything. And he'll show us what to do. If it's something we need to do out in the natural world, he'll show us. He'll give us instructions. We're not supposed to be running around like Chicken Littles, frantic, like the world does. Okay. How do we fight our battles? Well, we don't get in division, that's one thing. Because to me, to be double-minded is to be divided. Division is already there. We fight our battles through the Word of God. Weapons of warfare are not carnal. In Ephesians 6, if you read the whole chapter, chapter 6, it starts with children, honor your parents. First commandment with promise. Then it goes on down the chain of authority. And then it works its own way around to verse 10. Be strong in the Lord, putting on the armor of God. It talks about walking upright, getting in authority, staying in authority, not being divided naturally. Then spiritually you won't be divided. Go read it. They didn't just put it in there at random. There's usually a thought. There was a letter that was written, and there was a thought being purveyed here of unity for God's power. And that means there'll be power in you if you're united with God about what he says about you and your situation. If you won't let the devil and his scare tactics get you off, and even if he does, go to the Word. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, we're nearly done here. Unity. Psalms 33:1 talks about the anointing on Aaron's beard that ran down on his shoulders to the hem of his garment. So is that's the way God wants his body to be. He wants brethren to dwell together in unity. Okay, Ephesians 4 talks about the unity of the faith, the body. We're a body, the body of Christ. God wants us to be all unified, so we operate. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's Romans 8:14. Adam, when he was single-minded, could fulfill God's plans. But when he fell, God couldn't even communicate with him. I mean, it was a horrible day. His son that he loved, he could not even talk to. Oh. But the thing about Adam, and this is going to lead into the next thing that I have to bring. Before the fall, God gave Adam the same ability he had, gave him faith to operate just like he did. And he also gave him responsibility to call forth God's plans in the earth. He called the animals. This is Genesis 2, 19 and 20. He said he put the animals before Adam to see what he would call them. Well, Adam was in sync with God. He was communicating with God, so he knew what God wanted him to call them. So he, out of the mind of God, in him, he called things. He called things. He called the shots. Mm-hmm. God gave him authority and dominion, and he said, it's over the fish of the sea, the birds are there. Well, he's given us that same authority. Okay.